The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side, and joining us as he does every Wednesday, 9 o'clock hour for the midweek peak is none other than our brother, our co-host on the Key Bank Countdown to Kickoff, Steve Clark. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Sam, I'm doing fantastic, especially when it's Michigan State week and getting together with Ira to see the Sklar brothers at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. First time for me watching their performance. And I tell you, I got to appreciate the timing it takes to be a duo out on stage. There's an incredible amount of work they do to, you know, talk in unison, echo in place with one another. I mean, it was a really fun concert to go to Saturday. Sorry we missed you.
Yeah, man. Look, bro, I would much have rather been at the show, but I had to hit the road after missing that time last year. I'm still paying for it. Still paying for not being able to party with all that work, but hey, duty called. Now, though, sure. we get into what is a very, very fun week. One that none of us anticipated being a game of this magnitude. So let's just start off before we dive into Michigan State with a little historical perspective. As big Michigan State games go, Steve Clark, where does this one rank, at least on paper, for you since you've been watching Michigan State?
Well, it's definitely top five, and you would think it would have to be because, you know, this is the first time since 64 that the two teams have met while being in the top 10. But, I mean, to me, I thought 97 was really big because, you know, Michigan State was certainly on the rise, and Michigan was trying to be, you know, undefeated midway through the season, something that they had not seen that often because of the quality of non-conference opponents Michigan had played, you know, throughout the 80s and 90s. Being, you know, at like 7-0 was really a big deal, and you could sense that, you know, potentially, you know, not a playoff run because they didn't have it back then, but a national championship run wasn't out of the question. You know, things in 97 really changed significantly when they beat Penn State in mid-November. But, you know, the 99 game was absolutely huge. I think, you know, I think it was 3-11 back then, and there was a lot of, you know, a lot at stake in that one. 2003 was certainly big. And then, of course, you know, there has been some others where, you know, Michigan's been on the losing end. They wanted to get, you know, to end the losing streak against Michigan State, and they seem to be, you know, so vitally important in Michigan trying to get back under Brady Hoke. To get there, you had to go through Michigan State. So there's been a lot of big games into this one. But you talk about expectations. You know, Michigan's over-under for the season was 7.5 games. And Michigan State's, you know, over-under was 4.5 wins on the season. And there has been a ton of transfers or Band-Aids at the time, and they have made a significant impact at Second Chance U.
Good one, Steve. Good one, Steve Clark. All right, so now this particular contest, you know, you watch Michigan State. You watch Kenneth Walker. You watch their receivers, Reed and Naylor. As we start on the offensive side of the ball, Steve, this is a team that has really shown itself to be, you know, be able to put up some big plays and be able to put up some numbers.
They can, and that was, you know, some of the surprises that I saw in my research. I mean, everybody knows about the Rutgers game where, you know, Peyton Thorne threw for over 300 and Jalen Naylor had over 200 and 3 catches for over 60. And then, you know, Walker had over 200 yards rushing. I mean, it was quite an accomplishment what they did at Piscataway. You know, Walker is all of that. I mean, he leads the FBS in rushing at 142 yards per game. He just needs 3 yards to hit the 1,000 yard mark, be the first player to be able to do that. And, you know, he's named a first-team midseason All-American by multiple publications. And according to Pro Football Focus, Walker leads the country in rushing yards after contact. And the number for that is well over 700. And you think about the number of rushers in the FBS that have over 700 yards rushing, I can count them on both hands. And Walker has that many in yards after contact. So, I mean, this is a guy that not only, you know, finds the holes and has some speed and burst to him, but he's also hard to bring down. So Michigan's tacklers have got to be on their A game for this one.
Talking to Steve Clark for the midweek peak here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. What do they look like up front, Steve Clark? What's the offensive line like for Michigan State this year?
You know, it's a patchwork group. I mean, I think Michigan State's offensive line, which was kind of, you know, really one of the dominant features in the Mark D'Antonio era, you know, kind of was hitting the skids a little bit with, you know, with a lot of injuries, a lot of different lineups, et cetera, that they were having some problems over the last few years. But their head coach, Mel Tucker was really high on his offensive line going into summer. He said that was a position group he was most excited about because he thought that this offensive line was going to start putting it together. And it's been a mixed bag. When you see Walker carry it, Walker's getting bursts and he's getting first downs and his average yards per run is really good, but he's also been hit a lot behind the line of scrimmage, which means there are some mishaps in there. But they've got Kevin Jarvis, who leads the way with 44 career starts. They got a transfer from Arkansas State and is now on the Outland Trophy Award list. They got JD Duplain, 17 career starts at left guard. The whole thing about the offensive line, Sam, is that all of those guys have been there without injury. It's the same starting lineup for all of them in all seven games, but they regularly rotate nine offensive linemen into the game itself. So it's pretty solid, although not unbeatable.
Right. All right. So then quarterback. I mean, you know, Peyton Thorne has been a good trigger man, but as Al Borges, for them, relative to expectations, but as Al Borges brought up, he sort of looked back at the Nebraska game. He said, man, they got to him early, and it seemed to affect him even, you know, as they came out of the halftime locker room where we saw Michigan State be so anemic in the second half. Al likened it to Michigan Rutgers and how badly Michigan struggled. And Kay McNamara struggled in the second half after taking that big hit in the first half. What do you think of Peyton Thorne? What have you seen from him in the games that you've watched them this season?
Well, as each fan base, you know, makes a race to discredit the other team's, you know, accomplishments throughout the course of the season. I mean, Peyton Thorne's performance against Nebraska was definitely the lowest point of the season. Statistically, it was worse than the Michigan-Rutgers game where, you know, Michigan took, you know, four drives of three and out to start the second half before being able to move the ball. Michigan State was hardly able to move the ball in the second half at all. I think it was something like 14 total yards in the second half. But they did what they needed to do in overtime to win that game. But back to Thorne, he's completed 61% of his passes for over 1,700 yards, 15 touchdowns. He has four interceptions in those seven games, and he ranks among the Big Ten and FBS leaders in passing efficiency. He's in second place in that, 17th in the nation with a 162 rating. That is a far better number than Cade McNamara. He's second in the conference in passing touchdowns. And, you know, he is probably the biggest threat at quarterback Michigan has faced since the first game of the season with Western Michigan's Caleb Ellaby. He could throw downfield with regular success. And since week one, since Michigan's defense has had to play a guy who could throw the ball downfield, I think it's going to be an interesting test for the Michigan defense.
All right. So speaking of defense, Steve, as we switch gears to that side of the ball, their defensive line, I've seen them get some pressure at times, but this is not a team and not a defensive front that is, you know, or this is a defense and certainly not a defensive front that has been especially stout against the run, as Mike Spath pointed out this morning. So when you look at the Spartans defense, tell me what you see.
Well, I see in the passing situations that they wreak a lot of havoc, and they're pretty good in the fact that they're forcing quarterbacks to be flushed out of the pocket or be able to rush their throws. Michigan State ranks first in the Big Ten and tied for fifth place in the country in the FBS in sacks per game, which is just a little bit under four. And they're led by, you know, by a guy that Michigan fans are certainly chapped about, in Jacob Panasiuk. And Spartan fans are chapped that Panasiuk isn't considered on the same level as Aiden Hutchinson. He's recorded 5.5 sacks the past four games. He ranked sixth in the Big Ten in tackles for loss. And his team, you know, his 5.5 sacks are second in the league behind Hutchinson, as I said. So overall, he has, you know, six quarterback hurries, a pass breakup, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery. Without a doubt, he's a force inside. And the guy who 2 years ago tried to take Shea Patterson out with a hit from behind well after he threw the ball. And I like to remind people of that because it's one of the dirtiest plays I've seen from a Michigan State player. Also on the defensive line, they got a sophomore named Jeff Piotrowski. He has 3.5 sacks, so it's not just a one-man band, you know, leading the rush. He's also recovered a fumble and forced a fumble this season as well.
Yeah, you know, the transfer portal's been very, very generous to them, as we pointed out already. As you move back behind the line of scrimmage, Crevarius Crouch was a guy that Michigan recruited as a running back. He was one of the top running backs in the country, Steve, and here he is. And he transitioned to linebacker at Tennessee. But here he is, Steve Clark, and this is an example of, you know, the one of those portal discoveries, one of those portal assists that's really come to define Michigan State this season.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get from a transfer. You know, you see guys that are highly rated. You know, you think of Hunter Johnson at Northwestern, for example, since we've mentioned his name throughout the course of the season. What you can get with the transfer portal is a highly rated guy who was overrated and did not make the adjustment to playing with men in college. Or you can get a guy that needed a change of scenery. Or, you know, just happened to run into a couple of guys who were better than they were, and he's just looking for a chance and looking to get first team reps in practice and you know, gets better by being put out there anyway. Maybe he's more of a game player than he is a practice player. Either way, Quaveris Crouch, you know, the junior transfer from Tennessee, he ranks third on the team in tackles. He's got a pair of sacks as well, three quarterback hurries, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery as well. And Michigan State's got plenty of guys on this team that are transfers who are making an impact.
Right. All right. So as vulnerabilities go, you know, Mike, he mentioned the, you know, their run defense, but man, I got to tell you, Steve, as we got into the breakdown and talking to different people, say, man, they're as much as you feel like, or they feel like they have an advantage over Michigan's corners, Michigan heading into this game shouldn't feel like they should feel like they have the same kind of advantage over Michigan State on the outside.
Well, if you're looking at the receiving game, you know, it's kind of interesting. Michigan State is like last in the Big Ten Conference when it comes to pass defense. Yet they're towards the top of the Big Ten when it comes to top of the, you know, towards the top of the nation when it comes to points allowed in the nation. Something doesn't make sense there when you give up so much, not only in your passing yards, but also in your total defense, to have a scoring defense that's on the opposite end of the spectrum. I got to give credit when it comes down to defense, it really matters about how many points you give up. Michigan State's not been giving up a lot of points. But that's just one of those things where it's kind of being ignored a little bit, because if you have a poor pass defense or a secondary, you get concerned about teams that can exploit that. Michigan has not generally so far been a team that's been able to exploit poor passing games, at least from a deep end consideration. So that's not getting noticed as much. The reason why it's getting noticed for Michigan State on the Michigan side of things is because Michigan State was the initial team that exposed the Michigan secondary in 2020, and everybody else followed that blueprint later on. And considering that Michigan's defense has not played a lot of teams that have a downfield passing threat, those Michigan corners have not been tested very much this year.
Right. We shall get into some of the positional and individual matchups there, Steve Clark, but that's one. That is one right there that, you know, if you can protect, because you mentioned they can get after the quarterback a little bit too. I mentioned that earlier in the show. But if you can protect, Michigan's going to have opportunities like they've had in every game this season. They've had a lot of opportunities down the field on the year. But just, you know, you're going to need to be more efficient in capitalizing on those in this game, in my opinion, Steve Clark. So I want to hear from you on some of the, you know, some of the positional matchups and breakdowns. We're going to do that on the other side, you know. Some of the keys, if you will, to the game. The biggest since, in my opinion, 1999. We will get to that on the other side. Before we do, I'm going to remind you folks out there, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, Brighton Ford is where you should go. Get on board with Brighton Ford by going to brightonford.com. You can call 1-800-NEW-FORD, or, of course, you should know the address by now. I say it all the time, 8240. West Grand River Avenue. That's where John Cuter and his crew will take great care of you, because they have outstanding deals going on right now, like the one on the 2021 Ford Escape SE all-wheel drive. You can get into that mid-sized vehicle for $189 a month with $2,250 down, or $279 a month with $500 down. How about the 2021 Ford Edge SEL? $245 a month with $2,200 down, or $320 a month with $500 down. And last but not least, a sporty option, the 2021 Ford Bronco Sport Big Bend, very popular SUV, $293 a month with $2,600 down, or $414 a month with $500 down. For those and other great deals, get on board with Brighton Ford by going to brightonford.com, call 1-800-NEW-FORD, or make it out to the lot, 8240 West Grand River Avenue, in Brighton, Michigan. More with Steve Clark on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.